Okay, everybody, good evening. I want to welcome everybody to our historic broadcast by the E-Team Network, and it's a pleasure to start this series, which is really the opening series of our Parsha, our Thursday night Parsha classes, being co-sponsored by the Rabbinical Council of America. And it's a pleasure to have Rav Weinriv, the head of the OU, with us, who's has been a friend of Torah Motion and the RCA, and of course is very important work in the OU for many years, and previously, as I'm sure you all know, Rav in Baltimore, and a psychologist. Has it's really an honor to have him to kick off our Parsha class, and just wanted to welcome him. If you have questions in the middle of the class, you can either, you know, type them in the chat box on the bottom, or if you'd like and you want to speak up, you can just, you know, send the signal you'd like to speak, hit the microphone, and I'm sorry that I'm echoing, so I'll stop in a second. And okay, we look forward to a great series and a great class, and Rabbi Weinriv, it's all yours. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Rabbi Kelman, for inviting me onto this and giving me the opportunity to get thoroughly confused by all the technology. But I think it's working. I hope you can hear me. Shalom, can they hear me? They can hear me fine. And if you see if you see me, that's an additional plus. I want to say something about the texts, the books, the actual Sfarim, that I think are necessary to study the Parsha in a serious manner. And if you have these texts in front of you at this moment, that would be helpful. If not, in your own study, these are really the basic texts that I recommend. First of all, a Chumash with Rashi, and a Chumash being all five Chamishe Chumshe Torah, so you can flip back and forth from Bereshis to Dvarim to Vayikra. It's all really one integrated Sefer, not five. And it's important to have that text in front of you and available to you. It's also very helpful, less so in today's year, but in general, to have with you a Tanakh, a one-volume Tanakh, so that you can flip back and forward from the Chumash to Psukim and Neviim and Ksuvim. The Torah is all one Torah, and often it's very helpful to look in the Divrei HaNeviim or the Niksuvim to help elucidate a puzzle. Rashi, of course, what can I say? Rashi is essential. Chumash without Rashi is like, I don't know, love without marriage. Chumash and Rashi go together. Right after Rashi is the Pirush HaRamban. Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, who lived in the late 12th and 13th century, and was obviously one of the most important Gedolei Yisrael in medieval times. And his commentary on Chumash is really essential for Parshanut, just for knowing the meaning, the interpretation of many, many psukim that otherwise we don't understand. But also because the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash gives us a hashkofa, a Weltanschauung, a Torah approach to so many things in the world. Tonight, what I hope to do is to share with you some of the Ramban's thoughts on history, on the place of the Jewish people in history, and the two types of enemies that the Jews have faced throughout history, still face, and will face until the Geula Shlema, until the in effect, the end of history. I'm going to begin, and if you have the texts that were provided to you by email, you can see the very first pasuk is really the only pasuk from this week's Parsha that we will be focusing on tonight. A careful study of this one pasuk yields all the rest of what we'll be talking about. When we know the story, Eliezer Eved Avraham comes and seeks a wife for Yitzchak. He finds a wife in Rivka. Rivka eventually
system has crashed and part of it hasn't. We'll try to bring this back up in a moment.
Okay, I lost you. Am I back on? I see Rosella Weiss.
You're on.
I'm back on, okay. I don't know what happened. I'm not sure how far I got when I lost you, or you lost me. Let's go back to the pasuk, the first pasuk, the bracha, which is given by Rivka's family to her when she takes leave of them. And they give her this beautiful bracha, which we use today. Many people give this to a kala at a wedding, even nowadays. Our sister, may you be like tens of ten, like thousands of 10,000. May you multiply. And may your seed, may your descendants inherit Eis Sha'ar Son'ov, the gates of their enemy. And this is a fascinating bracha to give to your sister or your daughter when she's taking leave of you. To bless her that her children should be victorious over their enemies. And the phrase Sha'ar Sonov, the gate of your enemies, is a fascinating one. Now this is a pasuk, of course, in today's parsha. In Chayei Sarah, this week's Parsha. In last week's Parsha, we read a bracha which is remarkably similar. And it's the bracha given by God Himself, by the Ribbono Shel Olam Himself, to Avraham Avinu, to Abraham, just after the Akedah. And the bracha reads, and that's the second pasuk, at Bereishis 22:17. That God promises Abraham that he will multiply his seed like the stars of the heaven, like the sand upon the shore of the sea. So the first part of the bracha is very similar to the bracha given to Rivka. It's a bracha that his children multiply. Atayili al-Fedravavo is the bracha given to Rivka. And the bracha given to Avraham is that his seed be like the stars of the sky and the sand near the ocean. Then the last half of the bracha is almost identical. V'yirash zaracho eis sha'ar oivov. She is told, v'yirash zarech, may your seed inherit or conquer the gate of your enemies. And he is told, v'yirash zaracho eis sha'ar oivov. But the word for enemy is a different one. The word for enemy in the case of Rivka is sonov, a sone, someone who hates you. And the word for Avraham is oivov, oyev, also an enemy. What is the difference between a sone and an oyev? They both are translated enemy. And why would Rivka be given the bracha of overcoming her sonim, and Avraham is given the bracha of overcoming his oivim? This is the key question that I hope to address tonight, and I'll be drawing upon the Ramban, as I said, who is basic, but also the commentary of Rabbeinu Bachya, or as in Yeshiva we would call it Rabbeinu Bachai, who is almost a student, follows in the footsteps of the Ramban, who lived a little bit later than the Ramban, a generation or two, but whose commentary in many ways is remarkably similar to the Ramban's. They both combine an approach to parshanut, to interpretation, with a deep theological hashkofa, which is important to all of us. So, first of all, I want to look with you at the commentary of the Ramban on the Akedah, on the bracha given to Avraham. Avraham is given the bracha, v'yirash zaracha eis sha'ar oivov. This is the first source, Ramban A, Genesis 22:16. V'hinei huftach, Avraham is here assured, shelo yigrom chet sheyichle zaro, that sin will not cause a destruction of his descendants. His descendants will not be affected by sin. O sheyipo b'yad oivo v'lo yokum, nor will they have a total defeat in the hands of their enemies, not to stand up again. They may suffer defeat, but it will never be a defeat of lo yokum, a defeat of final defeat. V'deya zo, v'hinei zo, haftocha shalema b'geula ho'asidolonu. This is a promise, says the Ramban, to Avram about the ultimate future geula, the hoped for, prayed for, ultimate redemption. And this is what he's promised, v'yirash saracha eis sha'ar oivov. The second this is in his commentary and in his other works, is the question about the role of the Jewish people in history. What role are we expected to play? Do we have a role? And he addresses this in many, many citations, many, many references. But that question always revolves around another question. And that is, why is it that the Jewish people have this guarantee that they will never be destroyed? Why is it necessary in the world to have a Jewish people? Can the Jewish people ever exist without doing their mission? Is it possible for the Jewish people not to exist? Can the world exist without the Jewish people? These are questions which fascinate Ramban. So if you turn with me to the second Ramban quote, that's Roman numeral 2b, Devarim or Deuteronomy 32:26, that Parshas Ha'azinu, and we'll study together this paragraph. I'm assuming many of you can just follow along in the Hebrew with my English translation. If you can't follow in the Hebrew, I will try very hard to make the English translation very clear. The first point that the Ramban makes in this passage is a point which he makes again and again. And that is, there is a purpose to man. And that purpose is that man know God, appreciate God, and thank God. A famous Christian theologian, Schleiermacher, used to define the essence of religion as, in German, you'll forgive my pronunciation of the German, but the German word is Kreaturgefühl. A feeling that you are a creature, a feeling that you are something created by this creator. This is the Ramban's approach many, many centuries before Schleiermacher. In Parshas Bo, toward the end of Parshas Bo, the Ramban says the ultimate religious expression is two words, Briosecha Anachnu, God, we are your creatures. The sense of being a creature, something molded, formed, shaped, created by a creator. This is the basic, basic religious sense. And the Ramban says the same thing here, perhaps a bit less forcefully than he does in Parshas Bo. He writes, Hashem boro es ha'odom batachtonim sheyakir es boro'o v'yode lishmo. God created man on this world, here below, to recognize his creator and to confess, to admit, to attest to the fact that he feels to this creator as a creature. He looks at this being, this God, as a bore, as a creator. However, we have free will, we human beings, and often we lose sight of this goal of hakoratz habore, of recognition of the Creator. We sin, and the human race Kofru bo kulam lo nishar rak ha'om hazeh lishmo. The entire world, all nations of the world, writes the Ramban, have lost the knowledge that it is man, not the Jewish responsibility, it is mankind's responsibility to recognize the Creator. So therefore God chose a people, that's the Jewish people, and performed with the Jewish people so many miracles that if you just look at the Jewish people from the outside, you're going to say, wow, there must be a God, there must be a Creator. Upirsein bohem biyososu v'mofsim, ki hu elokehu elokim v'adonehu adonim v'noda bozeh l'chol ha'amin. God used the Jewish people as a vehicle, as an instrument, by which to make his name known to all the nations of the world. And indeed, Gentile scholars throughout the centuries have looked to the fact, to the facts of Jewish history as evidence of a God. Because how else can you explain Jewish history? However, writes the Ramban, suppose the Jewish people will disappear. How then will the nations of the world come to recognize God? If the all trace of the Jewish people is lost, people will stop talking about the Jews. There will be chas v'sholom, the final solution. No more Jews. Nothing else to talk about. And if that, and people will attribute the history of the Jews, now history, as being attributable to koach mikochos hamazolos v'hakolchovim, due to some strange force, the forces of history, the zodiac, who knows what. This phrase is so powerful. If there were no Jews, there would be no meaning to God's existence. The whole purpose of God's existence, the whole purpose of the creation, is so that people recognize God. And people recognize God through pondering the existence, the continued existence, the survival of the Jewish people throughout history. No Jewish people, no more contemplating what keeps the Jews going, and therefore the kavonas habria, the whole intent of creation, is gone. Shlo yishoy bohem yodeyais boro. Nobody will be around who will know the Creator. V'alkein ro'i midin ha'ratzon shehoyo b'briyas ha'olam. And therefore it is appropriate, because of the will of God, his will in creating the world, in order for God to fulfill his purpose in creation, which is that people recognize him as a creator, he's got to keep the Jews around. Because they are the ones who know him, who experience him, whose very existence is, in a sense, a proof of God's existence. So this is the Ramban's passage in Ha'azinu. And you see, the Ramban is often accused, so to speak, accused with quotation marks around it, as being an ultra-nationalist, as being almost a jingoist, a chauvinist, because the Ramban looks at the Jewish people, as you see in this passage, as being the vehicle by which God keeps a recognition of God in the consciousness of mankind. And this is the role of the Jewish people, whether they like it or not. This is our role. The question, of course, is, and the Ramban addresses it in a selection C, Deuteronomy 7:6, in Parshas Vaeschanan, where Ramban writes, why the Jews? Why didn't God choose, I don't know, the Burmese, the Thais, the people from Madagascar, the French, to be the people through which he will remain in the consciousness of the human race? So the Ramban in this parsha, in Parshas Vaeschanan, Deuteronomy 7:6, has a fascinating reason for it. V'yivchar bochem, why did God choose the Jews? Hatam, I'm skipping around, Shero eschem ru'uyim lehishahev lefonov, v'nivchorim li'ahavo yoser mikol ha'amim. God chose the Jews because they are able to enter into a love relationship with him. Why? Ki hanifcha la'ohev hayodua lisbol es ohavo b'chol habo olov mimenu. Here Ramban gives a definition of love. A lover can tolerate everything that his beloved does to him. If his beloved betrays him, he forgives her. If his beloved insults him, he forgives her. If his beloved ages, becomes ill, etc., his love does not diminish, and he continues to care for his beloved. So the relationship of a lover to his beloved is, as the Ramban puts it, lisbol es ohavo b'kol habo olav mimenu, to be able to tolerate, literally to suffer, whatever the lover throws at you. V'yisroel ru'uyim l'kach mikol am. And Jewish history has showed that the Jewish people, however their beloved God treats them, they can take it. Kemo she'omru shlosha azim heim. Chazal say there are three groups of human beings who are azim, who are strong, almost brazen. And one of them is heim Yisroel v'umos. Among the nations, Yisroel are the azim. We're tough. What does it mean we're tough? Ki yamdu lo v'nisyonos. We remain faithful to God in spite of all our trials and tribulations. O Yehudoi Otsoluv, we were often given the choice, either a Jew or crucify me, kill me. If I can't remain a Jew, I'm willing to give up my life. Soluv, crucified, killed. So this is the Ramban's take on why it is that God chose the Jewish people to be the vehicle through which he maintains a hakoras habore in the minds of all mankind. It is because of our ability to take whatever he hands out. And in the course of Jewish history, God has given us pogroms, inquisitions, holocaust, etc. The fact that we're sitting around tonight, after all of these things, and still studying God's word, this just proves the Ramban's point. We are the azim, the strong ones, the tough ones, the resilient ones among the nations of the world. And therefore, it is through us and our continued existence that the rest of the world can say, yes, there must be a God. If there's a Jewish people, there's a God. So this is a brief selection that I wanted to share with you, because as we will see, there are three players in the drama of history. And one of them is the Jewish people. And I wanted to show you how the Ramban looks at the Jewish people as a player. A key central player. The vehicle of God's being able, so to speak, to have the universe conform to his intention. The intention is to have people recognize him, and he does that through the Jewish people. And it's the Jewish people that are chosen as the vehicle because of our ability to remain faithful to our lover even when we experience great, great suffering and great tragedy. Okay, we have now one of the players. If we go back to our first Pesukim, we began a bracha to Rivka, a bracha to Avraham. Rivka, Avraham, obviously they are the first father and the second mother of the Jewish people. And they are told and given a bracha that they will overcome, in the case of Rivka, the sonei, the enemy sin nun, sin vav nun aleph, and in the case of Avraham, the oyev, aleph vav yud vez. These are the two other players on the scene, on the stage of history. There's the Jewish people, over and against the Jewish people, there are oyevim and sonim, two types of enemy. Let's learn more about these two types of enemy. And for this we turn to Roman numeral 3, which is a passage from the commentary of Rabbeinu Bachya in Deuteronomy Devarim 30, Pasuk 17. That's in Parshas Nitzavim. And the Pasuk reads, remember, Nitzavim follows Kisavo. In Parshas Kisavo, we heard the horrible curses that will befall the Jewish people in various times in history when they do not listen to God. But in Parshas Nitzavim, we're told the good news. The Heitivcha, the Hirbcha Me'avosecha, God will do good unto you, etc. And the Nosan Hashem Elokecha Eskol Ha'olos Ha'ele. God will take all these curses, these horrible curses that are so horrible, when we read them in shul, we don't even read them out loud. These horrible curses, instead of befalling the Jewish people, will befall the enemies of the Jewish people. And the pasuk reads, these olos, these curses, will happen al oivecha v'al sonecha asher redofucha. Again, the two terms for enemies. Oivecha and sonecha. So, there's two kinds of enemies that are going to get these curses, and they are the oivim and the sonim. Who are these two types of enemies who are going to get at some point in history the curses described as the curses upon the Jewish people? To whom will they be transferred? Rabbeinu Bachya says, the oivim are Yishmael and the sonim are Esav. There are two other players on the scene besides the Jewish people. One is Yishmael, the other is Esav. Esav is the sone. Yishmael is the oyev. Why is this? What's the difference between an oyev, that's Yishmael, and the sone, that's Esav? So the Rabbeinu Bachya writes, the oyev is a greater enemy than the sone. They're both enemies, but the sone, as we will see, has a little bit of rachmanus. There's some humanity, some compassion in a sone. The oyev lacks all compassion. The oyev is utter cruelty. Ki hasone, the sone may hate you, but he will reserve a little bit of rachmanus. He won't totally destroy you. He'll harm you in all sorts of ways, but he'll hold back a bit. And that sone is Esav. Aval ha'oyev hu shebelivo eva olamis lo yasim lo rachamim. The oyev is one who has eternal hatred, will never, ever show any compassion. Al zokein yachvid ulo ma'od. He will even oppress the elderly and the frail. The zem yisod halashom v'diktu kor, Rabbeinu Bachya says, that this meaning of the word oyev is implicit in the very word oyev. Because oyev is the language of avoy, or as we would say, oyvei. V'yos yoseim shavos, avoy, oyev, same letters. V'yal shem shehanofel v'yodo tsoek, a person who falls into the hands of an oyev type enemy, oyv avoy, woe is to him, oyvei. So there's a sole, very terrible enemy, but not quite oyvei. And then there's the oyev. That's the worst enemy. Oy vey for him. Interestingly, Hasonim are b'nei Esav. The lesser enemy are the descendants of Esav. She'ikor galusenu b'chol mokom shehu l'vnei Edom hu. Most of our exile has been in the lands of Edom, in the lands of Esav. V'kuro'on sonecha. And they are called enemies, but sonim. As Esav Sonesi is a pasuk. Tachas Senua Kitivo El Ze Esav. However, Yishmael, that's something else. That Yishmael is the oyev. As the Ramban writes, Umipnei Shebnei Yishmael Koshin Li Yisrael Yoser Bibnei Esav. Yishmael is worse than Esav. That's why Yishmael is called the Oyev. And he goes on to support his contention in various ways. You can consult Rabbeinu Bachya for the rest of his case. We often, rightly or wrongly, believe that Esav / Edom is Christianity, the Golus that we had in Christian lands. We often believe Yishmael, that's Islam. Did we suffer worse historically under Islam or under Christianity? Historians debate the issue, but historians do not agree with Ramban. Historians feel that by and large, under Islam, we were persecuted, we were not tolerated, we didn't have equality, etc., but it wasn't as bad as it was under Christianity. The Holocaust happened in Christian lands, not in Muslim lands. The Ramban sees things differently, and the Ramban lived a little bit under Christianity a lot and under Islam a bit, because the Ramban ended his life in Eretz Yisrael and saw Muslim rule. But the Ramban's take is that Yishmael, if that is Islam, I'm not saying Yishmael equals Islam, perhaps, but Yishmael is far worse than Esav. Yishmael is far worse than Esav. And this distinction is a common one in the Ramban's writings. And if you go to the next page, 3b, another pasuk from the Ramban, and this one in Parshas Devarim, Deuteronomy 2:4, V'ta'am achichem b'nei Esav, the pasuk calls the children of Esav your brothers, sheyichos Yisrael min Havraham v'chol zaro acharov. Esav will pity the Jewish people. V'chol zaro achecha. V'chol zaro achecha. Esav and all of his descendants are, in the last analysis, our brothers. Enemies, but brothers. The Ramban then says, Ki kulam heim nimolim, because all the descendants of Esav are circumcised, which is problematic, because we know Yishmael is circumcised, not Esav's seed. In Rabbi Chevelle's notes to the Ramban, which are essential in studying Ramban, he gives a long list of authorities, including the famous Chassam Sofer, who asks the question, how can the Ramban write of the descendants of Esav, Ki kulam heim nimolim? So it's a difficult four words, but we won't pay attention to that here. Instead, I just want to show you the contrast which the Ramban makes again in this passage, consistent with the previous one. Esav are our brothers. Therefore, lo tisa'iv edomi ki achichahu, Edom is your brother. Rak b'nei ha-pilakshim Yishmael u'midyon v'chol b'nei ketura enom b'yachva. Min hakosov ki v'yitzchak yikore l'chosora. Yitzchak and Yishmael are not brothers. Yes, they have the same father, but enom ba'achva. They are oivim, worse than sonim. Why? Why is Yishmael so bad to us? And here's another passage in the Ramban which you might find astounding. It's Roman numeral 3b2, Genesis 16. Last week's Pasha, Vataneho Sorai Vativrach Miponeho. Sorai tortured. Sorai gave pain to Hagar, and Hagar ran away. So the Ramban writes, Chotao imenu be'inui hazeh. Sorai sinned, our mother sinned by mistreating Hagar. And Avraham bahanicho la'atos kein. Avraham too sinned by allowing Sarah to mistreat Hagar. Vishoma Hashem El Onya, God heard Hagar's cry, V'nosam La Bain, and therefore God gave her a son, Yishmael, Sheyehe Pera Adam, who will be a wild man, La'anos Zera Avraham V'Sara B'chol Minei Ho'inui, to torture, to inflict terror, to use contemporary terms, to persecute, to wage war against the Jewish people in every possible way. The enmity, the ultimate enmity of Yishmael, which is worse than that of Esav. Yishmael is the oyev, not the Sone, traces back, in the words of the Ramban, hard to believe, to the sins, hard to bring myself to say the words, to the sins of Avraham and Sarah, who mistreated Hagar, and therefore God gave Hagar a son, who's been paying back the Jewish people to this day. This is absolutely fascinating stuff. But it helps us to get back to the original pasuk, which we began this lecture. We began a lecture with a pasuk from this week's parsha, in which Rivka is given the bracha of Yirash Zaracha Eis Sha'ar Sonov. Rivka does not have to contend with Yishmael. Rivka has two children, Yaakov and Esav. Rivka has to contend and protect Yaakov against Esav. According to Rabbeinu Bachya, according to the Ramban, which is the Sone? Esav. So therefore, when Rivka is told the Yirash Zarech, Eis Sha'ar Sonov, Esav is the one that Rivka needs a blessing for. Avram's sons, however, are Yitzchak and Yishmael. Avram needs to protect Yitzchak against Yishmael. And therefore, the bracha given in last week's parsha to Avram is V'yirash Zaracho, same words as to Rivka, Eis Sha'ar, same words as to Rivka, but Oivov, not Sonov, because it's in reference to Yishmael. That's who Avraham has to worry about. The greater enemy, the Oyev, the Oyvei, the Avoy enemy, Yishmael, whereas Rivka merely has to contend with Esav, the Sone, who in the last analysis is our brother. Very, very interesting. So we have three players on the scene of universal history. Am Yisrael, Esav, and Yishmael. Am Yisrael, and there are two types of enemies. The Sone, who is an enemy, but who has some bit of Achva in some way, is our brother. Versus the Oyev Yishmael, who is Oiv Avoy, who is a bitter enemy, impossible to make any type of covenant with. Now, I want to conclude to show you another aspect of this triad through history. Am Yisrael, Esav Sone, and Yishmael Oyev. And this is a passage from the commentary of the Gaon of Vilna, Aderet Eliyahu. And I'll tell you what he says. It's so provocative and so fascinating. And it can be interpreted in so many ways, and I encourage you to interpret it in any way that you can think of. The Gaon of Vilna reminds us of a story in Chazal, which all of us are familiar with. God took the Torah to all the people of the world and offered it to all of them. And they all turned it down. Torah has too many don'ts and too many no's and too many restrictions, and we don't want it. The Jewish people accepted it. And they accepted it with two words that are so famous, Na'aseh v'nishma. We will do and we will obey. Look at the words of the Vilna Gaon. What he says is that the Goyim owe us something. Esav and Yishmael, they wouldn't take the Torah. We took it on their behalf. We're the ones stuck with all the don'ts and all the no's and all the mitzvos, lo tase and mitzvos tase. And they're exempt from almost all of them. So they had to each give us a gift. Esav gave us a gift. Yishmael gave us a gift. Esav, Ayin Sin Vov, is the word aseh, oseh, action, maaseh. Esav gave us action. Yishmael is shemiya, shoma, to listen, obedience. Yishmael gave us the gift of obedience. When we said to God, Naaseh v'nishma, we got Naaseh from Esav, Naaseh, Esav, same letters, and we got Nishma from Yishmael. Absolutely mind-blowing. And let's look at the words of the Vilna Gaon. Yodua ki kishechozer HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Esav shiyakabla ha-Torah lo-ratzu la-kablo. It is known when God went to Esav and asked him to receive the Torah, Esav did not wish to. You've got to give a payback to the Jews because they're accepting the Torah and you're not, so you owe them one. Ideally, the whole universe, all the nations of the world would accept the Torah. But you got off the hook, Esav, because the Jews took it for you. And Cain, Tain lohem matana mishalcha. Give them a gift. V'tein lohem matana, notam lohem matana mishalo, midas hana'ase. Esav gave a gift from his essence. His essence was action. Esav was a man of action. Shehu tevo hanigzeres mishmo is a word which is related grammatically, semantically, to the name Esav. Ki Esav lashon asiyahu. The very word Esav means action. V'chein Yishmael huchrach liten mishalo. And Yishmael also had to give something of his essence, and he gave midat nishma, shehu teva hanigzeres mishmo, Yishmael. He gave nishma. If it is true that Esav is Christianity in Western civilization, and Yishmael is Islam and Eastern civilization, then this is extremely provocative, because this is saying that Western civilization, Christianity, has given us action, science, technology, the world of action, not the world of religion, not the world of obedience, but the world of accomplishment, achievement. And this is something we've integrated into our own religion, the world of Naaseh, coming from Esav. If Yishmael is Islam, the very word Islam, I understand, means obedience. The essence of Islamic culture is obedience, not action. Perhaps once in history, Islam was glorified for its scientific achievements, etc., but that's long, long ago. Now, it's nishma, it's shmiya, sometimes fanatic, blind shmiya, blind obedience, but obedience nonetheless. But there's something good for the Jewish people, both in the asiyah of Esav and in the shmiya of Yishmael. And that's why those two words, na'aseh v'nishma, people have taken as our slogan, we will do and we will listen, ultimately trace back, not to a Jewish source, but from our two other players on the tripartite scene of history, Jewish people, Esav and Yishmael. So these are some thoughts really stimulated in my thinking by one word in this week's parsha, son of. But the word is in the context of the Yirash Zarach Zareich Es Sha'ar son of, and that just rang a bell from last week's parsha where we have Yirash Zarach Es Sha'ar Oivov. And immediately the contrast stood out in my mind, Sonei Oyev. And I've shared with you my take on it, which is really the take of three of the great Gedolei Yisrael, Ramban, Rabbeinu Bachya, and the Vilna Gaon. Left some time deliberately for questions. I see there are some here. Rabbi Kalman asks in the chat, the written chat, would the Ramban agree with the censored Rambam that Christianity and Islam are stages from idolatry to the recognition of God? You all know or should know that the major work of the Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, Mishneh Torah, was censored by the church. And there's a passage there which in current editions is restored. In almost any decent current edition, it's restored, where the Rambam writes that there's some merit to Christianity and Islam, not very different from what the Vilna Gaon just said. There is some merit. We do get something from them. But the Rambam has a different take than the Vilna Gaon. Rambam's take is mankind had to be prepared for monotheism, for concepts such as prayer, etc. And Islam and Christianity both prepared the world by giving the world these various concepts, which ultimately will be purified and made perfect. Would the Ramban agree? You know, it's very hard to know. The Ramban, of course, was thoroughly aware of all of the Ramban's works. Much he agreed with, some he disagreed with. To my knowledge, I don't know if he ever explicitly commented on that censored passage. But in the, if you notice the quotes that we have here from Ramban, they're basically saying that we have two enemies, Sone and Oyev. Sone, you know, there's a certain achva in the Sone, nothing to hope for from the Oyev, but he never goes anywhere nearly as far as Rambam goes in looking at these Soneim and Oyvim as preparing the way for an ultimate Hakoras HaBore. Just trying to play with this to see if there are other questions typed in, but I don't see any.
Hatefulness is really a personal hatefulness between Lavrov, the birthright, you know, and the person. Perhaps that's one level of hatefulness, and somehow the child.
It's very hard to hear you. To really understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Are you hearing me?
I was just trying to say that maybe hate was a personal hatred, and then Snow is a national hatred. If you look at the relationship to Hitler and Lapra, and Lapra, if you can't wear it,
okay, it's a little clearer, but I'm sorry. I don't quite get your point. You're talking about two different somethings, one national. But I can't make out the rest of what you're saying. I see that Tova Gutenberg in Toronto is also saying that you're badly echoing. I don't know if she's referring to me or to you. To the difference in the multiple part of the blessings. In other words, the first part of the blessing to Rivka is Atayili Alfei Revovo, and the first part of the blessing to Avraham is Habo Abez Arech Kofi Hashemayim V'Chachol, etc. So Rivka is given a bracha in numbers, in actual arithmetic, thousands of 10,000s, and Avraham is given a bracha with two metaphors, stars and the sand. That is a very good question as to what differences might be implicit in those, and I have no idea off the top of my head, but it's certainly something to discuss over the Shabbos table. So, Rosella Weiss, if you have any ideas of your own, it's a very good question. I can't hear anybody right now. I just can.
A little. Can you hear me any better?
Saying, does it sound any better now? But I see now that Rabbi Kalman has typed in Esav personal Yishmael national hatred. And that's why Esav is referred to as a brother, Yishmael maybe not so. There are many, many other suggestions as to what is the difference between an Oyev and a Sone. I've shared with you one, which is common to both Ramban and Beinu Bachya, that it's a matter of degree, and Oyev is a greater enemy than Sone. But there are other approaches to it, and if I'm not mistaken, the Malbim sees the Sone as the personal enemy, Osisna es ochicha bilvovecha, and other proofs to that. whereas the Oyev is more the national enemy. So that, of course, would open us up to a totally different approach. I did not have the opportunity, but I think it would be worthwhile to look in the writings of Rav Hirsch, who often has a very innovative, unique approach to the difference, the nuanced differences between similar words. And he may have an approach to Oye versus Sone as well. But what I shared with you today is the Ramban's, and checking out the notes of Rabbi Shavel on Ramban, this seems to be original to Ramban. A question on typed in here from Blair Carey of Toronto. Am I suggesting that without Esav and Yishmael, the Jewish people would not have been able to accept the Torah without their gifts? It's not my suggestion. I think that that suggestion is implicit in the words of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon is saying something which, again, is startling. The more you think about it, the more startling it is. And that is, the Na'aseh V'Nishma, which we are so proud of, is something which came to us as a gift from a world people, our enemies. It's a very suggestive and provocative statement, but that is what the Vilna Gaon is implying. You know, the Gemara says that God, when the Jewish people said Na'aseh V'Nishma, so God said, Mi Gila Lebonai Roz Zeh, who taught my children this secret? A secret which the angels only know. How do the Jewish people get to know the secret? It's interesting that from the Vilna Gaon, at least in the passage that I quoted, that you have reproduced in front of you, the Vilna Gaon is saying that the Jews learned the secret of Na'aseh V'Nishma, the secret of the angels, somehow assimilating that from the gift, so to speak, of Esav and Yishmael. Of course, the implications for the influence of other cultures, and in this case, even other religions, upon the Jewish religion, is a fascinating question. And what the Gaon seems to be saying is that there's something about Asiya and something about Shemiya, something about action, something about obedience, that we kind of, I don't want to say borrowed, because we weren't borrowed it, we were gifted these from Esav and Yishmael. So I know that behind your comment, am I suggesting, is the wonder, how can one suggest that? But that's certainly how I read the words of the Gaon. Eugene in Chicago writes, I think the Rav may have missed the question about how we know or why we think the Arabs are Yishmaelites. I deliberately said that I will not defend or attack that point of view. Traditionally, we look at Esav Edom as being Christian, specifically the church in Rome, and Yishmael as being Arabs and Muslims, more than just Arabs. Not all Arabs are Muslims, as we know. I'm not sure that ethnically, genetically, today's Arabs and Muslims descend from Yishmael. I wonder about that. Whether they descend from him in some way culturally, I don't know. But it's fascinating in terms of the type of enmity that we're facing now from Muslims would certainly qualify to be the Oyev type rather than the Sone type. But I don't want to make that the essence of my talk. Let's leave out Islam and Christianity, and you still have a beautiful frame of Am Yisrael, Esav, and Yishmael and their dynamic interrelationship. Whether or not it's Christianity and Islam, I wouldn't insist on it, but it's certainly very interesting to ponder that. Yisrael Kashkin asks, why do we call these gifts when they don't appear to have been given willingly or to benefit the recipient? Well, I guess they were given willingly. If we follow the passage again in the Vilna Gaon, I'm glad that his passage is the one that's stimulating so many questions. They gave it willingly in the sense that they got a quid pro quo. They were relieved of the responsibility of Torah, and all they had to give away was a concept of action and a concept of obedience. To benefit the recipient, I think certainly we have been benefited by Nasa and by Nishma. I think we certainly have benefited by these gifts of action and of obedience, whether it's from Christianity or Islam, let's leave that out. But certainly we've benefited to a great, great extent. Yeah, I don't see any other comments on the chat box. I don't hear anything from the... You said, I'm just wondering if I can hear you. I guess so.
But I just want to thank you on behalf of every, on behalf of all of us. For those who are interested, all the shiurim are archived on MP3 on our website. I want, of course, invite everybody back, well, to many of the classes we're having, but next Thursday night, Rabbi Riskin will be broadcasting. You can check out our whole schedule on the website, and it's really a pleasure to have everybody. I want to wish everybody a good Shabbos, and we really... I'm very like the idea of having a Thursday night parsha share. I think it's a good lead-in, obviously, into Shabbos. So, Rabbi Weinberg, I'll let you have the last word, and then you can have a good night afterwards.
Okay. I first want to thank all of you for listening. We had quite a few attendees. I agree with Yisrael Kashkin that it is very sad to think that God's purpose is to be recognized by the world, and that doesn't happen very often. Perhaps less these days than certain times in history. It is very sad, and that's part of the sadness of our time. I want to thank you, all of you, Eugene in Chicago, Rosella Weiss from Ottawa, for thanking me, for saying that it was fascinating, and for thanking me for suffering with us through all the technical difficulties. It wasn't all that bad. Okay, good Shabbos to everybody. Shabbat Shalom.